The scripture is really filled with so much meaning for us today. It's God's work that speaks to us. It is the word of God. We've been studying the prophet Jeremiah in our Bible study, and it's amazing when you read the book of Jeremiah and it says, "The Lord says this." And so we believe that it truly is God speaking in those words. And God's word speaks his words always. And this is also the voice of God in his word in this scripture today from Matthew. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way." This is not the only part of scripture that begins that way. There are other gospels that also have these words. But it says, "The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit is mentioned again in this passage, and I think it's fitting for us today, and I really believe that God wants us today to, of course, center in on the reason for Christmas, Jesus Christ coming into the world so that we would know God is with us and that he loves us and he's going to forgive us of our sins. But the Holy Spirit is a part of this in a big way, and it's good for us to pay attention to that. John Barclay wrote some important comments in his comments about this book of Matthew, and he said this about the Holy Spirit. The Jewish people also were taught about the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament. And he made a very good list for us to be able to understand this better. He said, first of all, according to the Jewish idea, the Holy Spirit was the person who brought God's truth to men. Amen? The Holy Spirit brings God's truth to men. Doesn't matter, it's not just now. Through the time we're used to appearing, the Holy Spirit comes into us after we're baptized, right? We're baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit. There's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit always was, and it always will be. Amen? It's always was and always will be. And so the people of God in the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit speaking to them through the prophets. The truth from God was coming to them. Also, the Jews believed that the Holy Spirit not only brought God's truth to men, but enabled men to recognize that truth when they saw it. Amen? That we are able to recognize the truth, not just hear it, but to recognize that it is from God when we hear it. Right? The third, the Jews specially connected the Spirit of God with the work of creation. Now, you all know this because we know that God's Spirit was present at the creation of the earth and all of the heavens and the earth. Right? It was hovering. The Spirit of God was there. Jesus was there. The book of Colossians reminds us of that, that Jesus always was and always will be. He didn't just come down to earth at the time of Christmas. He always was, and he was there at creation. And so the Holy Spirit, and it's also known in the Hebrew language as the breath. And what did we hear and witness today but a beautiful dance to the breath of heaven. The breath of heaven coming into our lives and influencing us with God's peace and love and joy. All of these great things. And so that's another way that the people of the Jewish faith knew of the Holy Spirit in that way. It also says, let me get my notes here in order for a sec. Job said, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That's in Job 33:4. Job said, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." And that is what the Holy Spirit does here. It gives us life. It gives us what life is really truly about. And Jesus came to give us life through the forgiveness of our sins. There's another way the Jews especially connected with the Spirit, not only with the work of creation, but the work of recreation. And I'm sure that you know the section of Scripture in Ezekiel where the dry bones are lying there. And the Holy Spirit comes and wakes them up into life. Amen? And that is also a symbol of the things that represent our lives. That we are dead in our sins, and God's Spirit comes and brings us and makes us alive. It also means that we are dead until that happens, and we need to have Jesus Christ. We need to have the Holy Spirit in our lives to have that true life that comes through Him. And then we begin to see things in all different ways that God opens up in front of us and teaches us through the Holy Spirit. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are until you know Jesus. You don't know what life really is about until you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. We are in sin and darkness and the things that drag people down, and that's why there's no peace in the world. But Jesus Christ came so that we wouldn't live that way, but we would have an injection of His true life that was there at the beginning when He created the heavens and the earth. And that is what He wants for each one of us, to hear that message, that we can have true life through Him. Let me just read you the summary that Barclay wrote about these things. Jesus enables us to see what God is and what man ought to be. Jesus opens the eyes of our minds so that we can see the truth of God for us. Jesus is the creating power come amongst men, and Jesus is the recreating power which can release the souls of men from the death of sin. Amen. Amen. That is what Jesus has done. All of those things. He enables us to see what God is and what man ought to be. We are not people that are made for war. We are not meant to be people that are filled with pride and desire our own way. We are not meant as people on this earth to think of our own needs and the wealth and the things that we can have with our money. And brothers and sisters, that is what describes our world. And we're all falling into it. And it doesn't matter whether it's Christmas time or any other time, but people want money. And they want to be rich and they want to be secure with those things. And what the Bible teaches us is that Jesus came through the prophets before and in the time that He really came to earth and was conceived by Mary, that those things will not last, that they are a thing that are only temporary, but the truth of Jesus Christ gives us eternal life and things of greater value than anything that we can find here on earth. And that's what we have to preach. That is what we have to live in our lives here. We must understand that this is the truth of God. Do you guys hear a radio or something in here? Can we turn that off? It's just a little bit distracting. Unless it's like a voice that we don't know could be coming and trying to tell me something. Don't go so long, Pastor. Don't go too long. Yeah. So anyway, this scripture here is immensely important because it comes into a life of two people, Mary and Joseph, right? And Mary and Joseph are the two people that it speaks of here. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so this is the truth of what came into this family, this young family's lives. Mary and Joseph, betrothed, they were engaged. At that time, being betrothed was as good as being married. And so the only source of ending that kind of betrothal would be a divorce. And it had to come back. And so when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, right, just as it had been promised. Can we have that one slide there? I think if you turn off that box there, it'll stop. Peter, if you turn off that box there, it'll stop. I think it's coming through there. I was wrong. Can you bring up the one slide there for the first scripture there? Do we have those? Yeah. Right, so we remember in Luke 1:35, it said to Mary, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And that is what Mary received as the message from God. And her, the one she was betrothed to, Joseph, did not know this. And so when his wife was found to be pregnant with a baby, of course he was concerned. Right? He was thinking, what is going on here? But the thing that I want us to focus on here is very important. It said, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, he resolved to divorce her quietly. And that in itself is a very good thing. He was a good man. He was trying to preserve the dignity of Mary. He was trying to do the right thing. But then he goes on to, it says, but as he considered these things, what was going on in his life and how this beautiful woman that he was going to marry, right, is now found to be having a baby and growing inside of her. He's thinking about what he's going to do. And then as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him what was going on. And that's what I think that God wants us to know here. There are many good people in this world. And all the time we hear, he's a good person. He's a good person. He's doing the right things. He's doing, I can trust his way of doing things. I know he's a good person. And Joseph was a good person. He was looking out to do the right things here. But an angel came into his life and told him what was going on. And that is exactly what we need to learn here today. That our lives are not meant to figure out on our own. We need God to tell us what life is about. And to not only do that, but to tell us that he's doing great things among us, and that he wants to be a part of our lives. And he sent his son Jesus into this world, and Mary, this simple woman who was a godly person, also very, very, very good, right? She was a good soul, but it was God who came in to her life, and that is what was important. It was God and his influence in our lives. And we think all the time, I'm a good person. I don't need God. I don't need God. I'm a good person. I pay my taxes. Amen? I pay my taxes. I do good things. I respect my parents. You know, I pay money towards charities. I study hard in school. I do the things that I'm supposed to do. My life is an example of being good. Why do I need God? Because you have sin in your life. And we don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about sin. But God is saying, you need to think about sin because you don't have any life until you do. And unless you know that I have come to take away that sin so that you can have what real life is about. And that is what God wants us to think about. It's not about being good. It's not being a person who's making the right decisions. And as he was considering these things, an angel of God comes into his life. Isn't that amazing? He comes right at that moment when he was thinking, what am I going to do? And we've all been there. We all think like that. What am I going to do? I had a moment this week where I was just baffled by what was going on, and I was thinking, what am I going to do? And you know what happened? Someone prayed with me. Isn't that beautiful? They came and they saw that I was going through something, and they said, can we pray? And God came. Do you hear that? Are you listening? Are you taking it in? God came in, and he removed all of the work. And he said, I'm taking over here now, John. I'm taking over now. So you just put away all those thoughts and consideration. What am I going to do? I'm in control of your life. And I'm going to do something powerful. And it's going to result in peace and beauty because I'm there. Not because of you figuring out what to do. You don't have to do it, darling. You have to listen to me. You have to put down your arms and all the strain and all the power that you're trying to work out in your mind and let me come in with my Holy Spirit and transform it. He did it. And I can tell you that the truth, that he'll do it for you. You just have to let him in. You have to let God have control of your life. You have to believe what the Word of God says here and understand what it means here. That he said to him, Joseph, he knew his name. He knew Joseph's name. He knows every one of your names. He knows every one of our names. So Joseph, son of David, meaning your heritage has brought you into the place where something incredible is going to happen because it's in the line of King David and the prophets who said these things like this, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and they shall call his name Emmanuel, knew that it was going to come through you and they knew that it was going to come into this world at this time. Jesus Christ, God with us, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You are in that line. And let me tell you, don't be afraid. Amen? Don't be afraid. Ever. Ever. Do we understand that? Ever? Ever. Everlasting life. Never ending. Don't ever fear because God is with us. He's with us. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I've got this in control, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The one who was present at the beginning of the creation of heaven and earth. The one who was working through the prophets to describe what was going to happen on this day in Bethlehem. All these things, God has it under control. He is coming in force to save us and release us from sin, release us from fear, release us from anything that is here on earth and to bring us into heaven. You want to go to heaven? You want to know what heaven is about? Give your life to Jesus and you'll start to hear the message. And he'll make it clear to you. She will bear a son, this woman you are betrothed to, and you shall call his name Jesus. Not a name according to the rules that you're used to in society where you give the son a name. I was visiting some people in Toronto one time, and this guy, he's a great Christian man, and he was telling me about his grandchildren. And he was so proud. And he was telling me, you know, I got to pick the names in Chinese for my grandchildren. Isn't that awesome? And he just beamed with this face. You know, he was just telling me about it. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, that's really cool. And he just went on about how he had picked out. And you know what was in the name of his grandchildren? The Holy Spirit. Ling, isn't it? Right? Ling. So each one of the grandchildren has the Holy Spirit as part of the name. Isn't that cool? I wasn't planning on saying that. But it just occurred to me. You know, so the Holy Spirit is all over the place. It's in Toronto. In a guy who is seeking to have the Holy Spirit, man, come into his grandchildren's life, the next generation. To be identified with that and to say, your name has been given to you because the Holy Spirit is my Holy Spirit and your Holy Spirit, and he wants you to live into eternity. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And it was at work in the lives of these two young people who were going to be married. And Jesus Christ came from the womb of Mary, and he grew to be a man, and he died on the cross, put an end to sin, and he rose from the dead, putting an end to death, and he offers it to all of us. That is the coolest thing that exists in the world.
2019.
It all took place fulfilled what the Lord had spoken. God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so this man, who was visited by an angel and had been received an explanation for what was going on in his life, so that he didn't have to think, what am I going to do? And that God told him what he needed to do. He obeyed him. He woke from his sleep. He didn't say, what was that crazy dream I just had? Wow, that was weird. He said, I'm going to do exactly what God is telling me to do, because I know that he's real. I know that he's real. He said, he took his wife and he married her, knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, went against all the rules. He did what he was told. Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit, the power of God in your life? If you do, are you obeying in your life? Do you know the Holy Spirit? And do you obey when the Holy Spirit speaks? That is what God wants for us to consider today. Do we believe that Jesus Christ came into being here on earth through a woman, by the overshadowing of this young woman, by the Holy Spirit? John 6:69, it says, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know who said that? Peter. All the disciples, many of these disciples were following Jesus, and they were dropping away from him. You know why? Because he demanded too much of them. He said, you have to lay down everything and follow me. And so he looked at the 12 disciples who were left, and he said, what about you guys? Are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, where else are we going to go? To whom else can we go? We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And that's what we're dealing with here in our lives here today. Are we going away from Jesus and saying, you're demanding too much? I've heard this all before. I'm not going to hear it. I'm going to take things into my own hands. I'm going to consider my life and the things that I'm going to do. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my own brain and my own abilities to think and work these things out. I don't need God in my life. And God is saying, oh, please. Please, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Be like Peter, and all the other people are going away from him. He says, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Do you believe? Do you truly believe? Give your life to God. Put aside everything else. There isn't anything of worth that is greater than Jesus Christ. Learn from God's word what is spoken here. That God comes into a life where a person is saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he says, this is what you're going to do. And you can trust me, because I'm your God. And I'm sending my son to come into your life so that you can be saved and you can know what life is really about. There's someone here today who's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Don't turn away. Do what I did this week. You know, it's not like I did something great. It's just that I learned this lesson this week, that God sent someone to me
to tell me. Let's pray to the one who can really help this situation. Because it's not going to be found in you being worried about it. It's going to be found in the one who sent his son through the power of the Holy Spirit working in Mary so that she would give birth to him. That the power for our lives and the problems we face is going to be found. And it doesn't matter what it is. That's the beauty of God. It could be the smallest thing in the view of someone for someone else, and that problem could be in the mind of that person who's going through that problem, the biggest thing in the world. Isn't that true? And then when God comes in and he talks to us and he brings himself into it, we think, that problem wasn't so big because God solved it. He solves problems. He comes into our life and gives us new direction. He teaches us what love is. He teaches us what love in a relationship is and how we're supposed to go around with each other in church or in our homes or at work. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And so God is saying today, if you have heard my voice speak to you, then follow me. Lay down your burden and follow me. Give me your life. And I will show you what life is truly about. Could you bow your heads just for a moment? I'd like to ask if someone right now is hearing God speak to them. If you feel that Jesus Christ is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit today, I want you to just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. No one else is going to see you do it. Just raise your hand and let God come in and receive him. Don't delay. Don't worry. Just trust. Trust him. Raise your hand for the briefest time. Amen. Let God come in and love you. Let him love you. Let him love you. Amen. Let Jesus in, Savior of the world. And you will have eternal life. And you believe. Amen. Okay, you can put your hands down. Father, we thank you for this time that you have gathered our church together here because we all have things on our minds and our hearts. And you showed me this week, of course, and I've said that today in front of my brothers and sisters here at church, that I go through times where I carry a large burden on my shoulders thinking, oh, how am I going to do this? And if anybody finds out something could possibly not be done in the right way in church, then what are they going to think of me as a pastor? And you taught me not to go there, to take away my pride and to lay myself down and pray with a person you sent. So I pray, Father, for those who raise their hands today that you'll bless them and that they will feel your peace today and that from this day forward they will give themselves completely to you. And I pray, Father, that you will be with those that were not ready quite yet to raise their hands, but they were feeling in their hearts that they wanted to, that you will minister to them with your angels, and that they will hear the words, "Fear not. I come bearing good news that Jesus Christ loves you and wants to be with you forever." We just pray that this Christmas, Lord, you'll continue to remind us of the fact that we are called Christians and that Christ is our Savior and that we have him in common and you are the one that we worship. Let us lay down our lives every day. Teach us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a carol together. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's rise. We need to stand up and sing this.